Okay, Rabbi, so let's go back to Tosfos from Maskil, was then notes over via. The Yom Tov Yenem and the Chet Shul Amigu the Yivay Amar Kula Shali. Can Amrina Bigmara Haimigu Gufa Lefatro Mishvua Ilomishu the Arvin Kamar. Right, they have Amina to use this Amigu in the Gemara. So why don't to pat you from the Shvua? Says better. Don't pat you from the Shvua. Use the Amigu to get half. When we first Rivam the Amigu Lahotzi Lo Amrina. So one answer is the Rivam that it is a Amigu Lahotzi, and we saw. Three ways the Rishonim possibly rejected the Rivam, each of which is a big sugya in and of itself that maybe we'll get to, maybe we won't. But we saw the Ritva says Migu Lahotzi Amrinan, and that's the sheet of many Rishonim Tzvara, all of Rishas. He says it right here on the daf. We mentioned the Gilyom, or really the Gilyom according to the sheet of Mekubetzes, who says that it's a migu lehachzik, because each one is muchzik on half the talus. So if I'm using a migu to get half, that's a migu lehachzik. Okay, that's a radical sheet, because then you get into trouble if I'm really muchzik on half. Why don't I just win half without a migu? And he gets into a little trouble. And the what I mentioned, Baal Peh, is the Kuntrasay Shiurim Bidas Tosfos Rid, who says it's not a Migu Lahotzi, because we're both equally Muchzuk on the whole talus, therefore it's a stalemate. We're both muchzak, we're both motzi, we're both equally muchzak on the talus. We have a stira here. Therefore, since we're both equally muchzak, it's not a problem migul hotzi, because migul hotzi is when you're going to be against someone's cheskes mamon. Here, our cheskes mamons are evenly arrayed, and the migo can win. Okay, so that's three reasons why you could disagree with Rivam. Each of these reasons needs more analysis, some of which we hinted at last time, but I'm not going to review that now, because that's going to get... that's going to take all day. So let's leave it at that. Then he asked the question himself, as we recall. Which we explained the case. Okay, so that's what we saw last time. He asked the kasha of Rav Basra, there's a clear case of Migul Lahotzi. I can make you pay the $100 the shtar says you owe me based on a Migo. And even though Rabbi Akiva Eger pointed out that you could say that's only one sheet, and not the sheet that we paskin like, but Tosfos didn't want to give that answer without giving back to Yosef, perhaps because he wanted the mission to work according to all Amoraim, right? Clearly, there's one Amora, right? Clearly, there is Rabba who thinks you say Migu Lahotzi. Tosfos answered, that's not a regular Migu, don't say Lahotzi. There's a better Migu, because if you would have just been silent, if you would have said nothing, you would have won, as opposed to if I had said something, you'd have won, so that's stronger than normal amigo. Maybe we'll come back to that in a few moments. Who had their hand up?
Me.
Okay. Now, before we get to the second half of Tosfos, Tosfos is only one answer to this question. How do other Rishonim answer the question of why we don't say amigo here? I think I put some of them on the... on the sheet that Mordechai famously brings down, as well as many, many other Rishonim Alatar. But Mordechai's in the back of the Gemara, so he became more well known. The Mordechai quotes a new principle from Siman Reish Tesnayin here. He says, he starts out right there. V'im tov ramayinu notol reveal ishtaba shehu chetz yishlo v'yitol chetz of migu dubayin kula shlo iva heisha ramayinu tam, and then he ramayinu tam. The lomri amigu al mamam zeh, but migu dubayin litba mamam acher. Chein heisha v'lomayinu frayim regensburg, tachal migu toli v'osu dover atzim, kamarin migu dubayin armali la'adam, kamarin ensum hemen, migu dubayin per v'ezuk suvas, v'lomi mamon le mamon. Okay, so this is the Mordechai v'shem ramayinu tam. migu mi mamon le mamon lo aminan. What does that mean? If I could have had a taina to claim mamon A and 1, I can claim mamon A with a different taina and win. But over here, it's not that I could have had one taina on half the talus and 1. So therefore, I would have my taina on half the talus. I could have taina the whole talus, meaning I could have asked for different money. The migu is from different money than the migu that I actually asked for. So, for example, let's say I could have had a different taina on half the talus. I don't know what I had a shtar that said half the talus is mine. Without getting into whether this possible, that I could have brought out. So if I could have had one taina and half the talus on Nemo with another taina and half the talus, but here I would have had to claim the whole talus. The migu is from a taina on different on a different talus, on a different half. Therefore, there's a rule, you can't say, migu, I could have tined it on that. Migu, I could have tined it on this desk. I win this desk. That's what's going on, right? There's two halves of the talus. Give me this desk, because I could have tined it on that desk also. And then I would have won. No. To win this, I need a migu from this. I can't have a migu from there, from that desk, for this desk. That's the principle of migu mamon lamamon lomrinan, which is found in many of the Rishonim here. It's also found in all the versions of Tosafim. Tosos, except for the one on our page. It's also found in the Rishonei Svarad, the Ramban, and the Rashba, etc. Now, what's the Svara? Why wouldn't we say Migu Mamon Lamamon? After all, what do you mean? How does Migu work? What's the logic behind Migu? Simple shot. What's the logic behind Migu? The logic behind Migu is that either I'm lying or I'm telling the truth. If I was a liar, I could have said this taina and won. If I was a liar, I would have said, any liar would have said the winning taina, not the losing taina. For the fact that I say the losing taina proves I'm a truth teller. And if I'm a truth teller, I win. So what's the difference? Why should I not say amigo mi mama la mama?
If you're talking about someone lying, people have all their different machinations. On this I'll lie, on that I won't lie. So by breaking it up into two separate objects, one doesn't relate to the other.
So Morty's giving a psychological, now why, right? Why? So Morty's giving a psychological observation that I might have been willing to lie on this desk, about this desk, but I wasn't willing to lie about the other desk. That is, basically, that's what the Namuka Yosef says when he quotes this Svara of Rabbi Yotam. Sorry. He says, let's just read, make sure it's the same Svara. He says, 1 second. Yeah. The old she'en omer migo elba also davar atzmo shutoveya o kofer. You only say migo from the same object. The taina could have said the same object. Avomi davar le davar lo, but from one object to another object, we don't say a migo. But filu b'shoy osu shnei davar mshkulim, even if there are two equal things. Lofi she'efshir davar echad umeiz davar acher afishu b'shakal inu yachal le hayiz. Why? Because maybe I have some reason why I'd be willing to lie about item A, but I wouldn't be willing to lie about item B. Maybe I have some reason where I'm willing to lie about the first half of the talus. I mean, maybe I'm a liar. If I'm a liar, why didn't I tie in a kula shali? Because maybe I have some bug in my head that I'm willing to lie about my half, but not about the other, about this half, but not about that half. So maybe there's... So what does the Nebuka Yosef say? Why don't we say migu mamon lamamon? He says, psychologically, I might be lying. If I'm lying, why didn't I say? If I'm lying, chetzi shali, why didn't I just say kula shali? Right? The assumption is that everyone, right? Again, Satan of Zikin is talking about Jews. Every Jew has a first degree relative as a lawyer. So he could have gone for some advice and been told, you want to lie and win half? Just say kula shali. So, which is the principle of Migo. But if you're accusing me of lying, why wouldn't I have just said the winning taina if I was lying? So why didn't he say the winning taina? The answer is maybe there's some reason he was unwilling to lie about the other object. Maybe in his head, he's comfortable lying about this and not about that. So in our case also, why don't we say nigu from the whole talus to half the talus? Maybe there's something in his head he's willing to lie about half a talus, he's not willing to lie about a whole talus. Well, I know. Human psychology is always very funny. You can never tell what bugs are in people's heads. That is the Nimuke Yosef's Hesper, the rule of Ein Omer Migu Mimama Lamama. However, it's perhaps well known to those who've been in the Yeshiva Shvelt in the last 100 years that Rav Chanan has a celebrated essay, probably his most famous essay. But you don't need to go to Rav Chanan. I mean, this is, you get in your mother's milk in Yeshivas nowadays, about Migo, where he makes what Chakira? Exactly. How does Migu work? The simple old-fashioned way to understand how Migu works is it's what they call an emunus or a beaver. It's a psychological proof. The proof is, if I was lying, I would have said a better taina. So why did I say the worst taina? Must be because I was telling the truth. Like, why would someone not say the best winningest taina? The answer is because they're honest. Okay? So that is the beaver approach to Migu. Being what they call an emunus or beaver, it's a psychological proof. The psychological observation. And it seems to make sense. Again, if you assume people are clever, right, then anyone who could have had a winning taina, again, why would he go, his lawyers tell him, say the winning taina. He says, no, I'm going to say this other taina. Why would he say the other taina if he had a winning taina? Because he's an honest fellow. And if he's an honest fellow, then we believe him. But the Rav Chanan and all the other post-Brisker acronym suggest that maybe there's another way of understanding Migu. The nickname in Yeshivas is Koach HaTaina, meaning it's not psychological. It is a rule of Bezdin. There's a rule of Bezdin that whatever you could have said, that is the power you have in court. You don't have the power of the Taina you do say, you have the power of the Taina you could have said. It's a rule. I go into Bezdin, I'm arguing about this eraser. I come into Bezdin, whatever taina I could say about the eraser, that is, that defines my rights in this eraser. It doesn't really matter so much what I do say. It matters what I could have said. I just have the koach of what I could have said. It's a formal rule of Bezdin, not based on my psychology, but based on the strength of my claim as soon as I walk into Bezdin. You know, it actually is a logical rule for Bezdin to have. Right, if you want to, if you want to have, I guess, the most honest business system around, just tell everyone when you come into court, you get the strength of your best claim, so you don't have to bother to go to lawyers and make up claims. You have koach ha-taina. Now, what Rav Chanan suggests is, I wasn't going to get into this totally now. Maybe I still only half get into this now and save the rest without Gimel. But if you understand that, if Migu is what they call koach ha-taina, meaning it's a formal rule. It's not based on what I'm thinking. It's based on the strength of my position in Bezdin. Then he says, this makes perfect sense. What does koach ha-taina mean? However strong my grasp on this desk is, that determines my strength of the court. If I have a winning taina on this desk, then I win. But over here, I don't have a winning taina on this desk. I have a winning taina on that desk. Right? But if you want to know what's the koach of my taina on this object, you have to look at what I could have tainted on this object. You can't look at what I could have tainted from left field on a different object. You can't say, well, believe me in this case of the talis, because I could have tainted that I own your house. No, that's a different inyan. That's not part of the strength of my claim on this talis. The strength of my claim on this talus is based on what I could have said about the talus. Likewise, here I'm claiming half a talus. The strength of my claim of half a talus is based on what I could have said about half a talus. The fact that I could also have tied it something else might be an interesting fact, but it's not relevant to the strength of my claim on this talus.
Even though it impacts this talus?
Even though it impacts this talus. And that's, I guess, the chiddush of Rav Chanan here. Even though lemaisa, practically I could have gotten half a talus. Maybe I could have gotten, now it could be I could have gotten a different half of the talus. What do you mean by a different half? Like, instead of getting This, I could have gotten like this desk and this desk, you know, which adds up to the exact same thing because whatever, we're just going to figure out how to share the talus anyway. But the point is that even though I could have achieved just as good as a result, but it wasn't because of the strength of my position on this half of the talus. It was because of the strength of my position on that. My position on this is only half strong. And a chami. My position on that is also half strong. But we're not donning on that. We're donning on this half. We're donning on the right half of the talus, let's say. Ki'ibu. We're donning on the right half of the talus. My strength of the right half of the talus is only halfway. Oh, I could have tied the left half of the talus. That's not relevant because, and you know, that's, I guess, that's the definition of formality, because he wants to say, if mi was koach ataina, then my koach is defined by my best taina on this object, not by what I could have tained it on a different object. Right? So basically, when the guy goes into court, Bezin doesn't say, well, what are all the tainas he could have had on anything in the world, and how strong is his position? No, no, no. If I come into court arguing over half a talus, they say, what are my tainas on half a talus, and how strong is my position? They don't care what my tainas are on anything else.
Apply this principle to our case, that assuming that the claim of chetz shali is not that of a shunta, rather I own the left half, who's the right half?
I'm not sure. Lav davka. You're not going to box me into that, because it could very well be that even if chetz shali means I am a means I'm a shutaf, still the half shutfas that I have is a different chetzah than the other half of the shutfas, even though we can't separate it with scissors. But you can, if you disagree, then I'll go with your kibbutz. Now,
what's
let me just
cause where the migo works, where it does work.
Ah, what's a case where migo works? A case where migo works is a pashut case. Like, for example, let's say you give me, this is actually not such a pashut. Many cases of migo are controversial, so why don't we use a migo that's actually found. That's actually found in Shas. So what's an example of a real migo? If a woman comes and says I owe her ksuba, I can claim I paid her ksuba. Migo, I could have said I never married her. Right. That's a migo. Right, or, for example, if you say, where's my computer that I gave you to watch? I could say I gave it back to you. Migo, I could have said it was stolen by bandits. Right? Hexarti migo denansu. So that is where it's one taina on the computer, another taina on the computer. One taina on the ksuba money, another taina on the ksuba money. Those are all cases where... controversial case. How about the other case? You give me the computer to watch. I say it was stolen by bandits. You say, how do I know? I say, what do you mean? I could have said, you never gave me the computer to watch. Right? Ones, Migo of Lahadam. So these are all tainas on the same object. As opposed to Migo Lamon Lamon means, you say, Migo Lamon Lamon means, you bring a star, say, owe you $100. I say, no, I paid you the $100. How do I know I paid you the $100? Because look, that car, that car is really registered under my name, but I sold it to you and never signed the paperwork. I could have claimed this my car, and the car's worth $1,000. So believe me that I paid you the $100 in the shtar. And that's me, believe me in this court case, because I could have had a tie and a different object. And that's exactly what the Mordechai says. We don't allow that kind of migo. The migo has to be about the same chefza. You can't bring a migo, but I could have tied it on a different chefza.
The Feeder Rishonim will say that he has a chazaka on the whole talus. Is that a good migo, according to him?
No, because it's not a matter of what he has a chazaka on. It's still, he's claiming half the talus. Migo, he could have claimed the other half of the talus.
But he has a chazaka on the whole talus, and it's not two separate objects. It's all his.
Yeah, but it's still two separate objects. It's still two separate objects. It's still two separate. He does, chazak means he's holding it. It doesn't mean it's his. It's still two separate objects. Because once I say it's half mine, half yours.
He has a chazaka on the whole thing. Just the other one is so serious chazaka.
Okay. But still, I'm only claiming to own half. I'm only claiming half of it's mine. If I'm claiming half of it's mine, then I'm saying I lived in Torah about half of it. Which means once I admit we only have the Torah about half of it, don't bring in the other half. That's what. Now, why does Rav Chanan say this? Because this is a little, because, you know, the Enmuka Yosef is a little bit, maybe, on the Dachuk side. Really? If I was a liar, so I wouldn't have lied about something else in order to win money? I don't know, why wouldn't I just lie about everything in order to win money? So, L'maisa, Rav Chanan takes the Dabar Pashut, he doesn't even quote this Enmuka Yosef. He says, anyone who says we don't say Migu along the Mammon holds that Migu is not a psychological beer. Migu is a formal rule of Besdin that I have that my power in this case, my koch in this case, depends on how good my potential taina was. That's, and then Baruch Hanan built a whole marechet about this. He brings many other rises as well that we will get to. L'maisa, L'maisa, you know, you could say that Migu Yosef and disagree. No, everyone thinks Migu is a rule. You know, he's basically saying, don't make Migu balabatish, make Migu a lundish abstract category. You could disagree with him. You could say, no, Migu is just psychology. Why don't we say Migu l'mamamam? Because Migu Yosef says, because psychologically, there are some people with bugs in their heads that they'll lie about one square meter of cloth and not about the other square meter of cloth. They'll lie about loans and not about cars, in this example, or whatever else it may be.
I mean, you could defend the thing with Yosef also. He's not going to lie on that because he's afraid that'll be found out about. Here he won't be found about. Jesus.
Correct. It could be any reason he has in his head, right? Correct. It could be any reason he has in his head. Absolutely. 100,000,000%. Okay, so, but Rav Chanan used this, the basis, as a strong basis of his idea of koach ha'tayin. He says, why wouldn't we say Migu from one half of Talis to the other half of Talis? After all, it's all the same in people's heads. He doesn't think that it's different in people's heads. Come on, half the Talis, the whole Talis. It's all fighting over a Talis, all the same in people's heads. If he was a liar, he would have lied. So his answer is no, Migu is a formal principle. My koach on something is based on my best taina. But my koach on this half of the book is based on my best taina on this half of the book. Not based on my taina on the other half of the book.
Is koach ha'tayin somehow related to the fact that Besdin is towing for somebody sometimes?
So that's not tamina. That's not a crazy idea. The fact that Besdin even explores your taina sometimes might prove that the way Besdin works, they don't care so much about your tainas, they care more about your position. And which again, if you take into account the fact that... Any lawyers in the room? Okay. Anyone's father a lawyer?
I'm
How about the internet? Okay. If you take into account the fact that basically all Rishonim agree that really the Torah doesn't like lawyers and wants everyone to come into court and just like sort of discuss things honestly with the Dayanim, then it could make a lot of sense that the way the Torah structured the din is that the Dayanim aren't really supposed to see how well you can trick them. The Dayanim are supposed to see what you have to say and then figure out how good your case is, but not letting you be a little more clever or less clever. However good your case is, that's how good your case is. Obviously, you need to have a taina. If you admit you're wrong, you admit you're wrong. But if you come in and say you're right, then Ben says, well, how good is your case coming in? And the fact that you choose to say a smarter or less clever taina won't make a difference. That is the idea of koach ha'tayin. It's not a matter of proving anything psychologically. It's a matter of the way Besdin works. And it could be that once the way Besdin works with formal ways, right? Besdin works in a formal fashion. If I sue you over half a talus, Besdin says, this dintor is over half a talus. We're going to look at your position on half a talus. We're not going to look at your position on the other half of the talus. And that's how Rav Chanan explains the shita of the Mordechai. Again, granted, Muki Yosef is a party pooper here. He says, don't be a brisker and give me this chakira and a new way of understanding Migo. It's all just different in these shitas in human psychology and different ways of, you know, of understanding the human mind. Rav Chanan used this as a big yesod. Theoretically, if we just went back for a second, you could very well say to the first half of this Tosfos, to the Tosfos on the Daf, who's machalik between Migu and a Migu where you would have won without saying anything. It could be that maybe that's part of the chiluk there, and this is what I hinted at last time, that maybe Tosfos is suggesting there could be a distinction. If you're talking about Migu, you know, I could have said one thing, so believe me when I say the other thing. So that's a proof, a psychological insight that tells you that I'm honest. But you know, psychological insights can't be motzi mamon. After all, they're not two eidim. But if you look at migudi ben shasek, not just I could have won, I already won, right? I already won this case. I just didn't have to say anything. Now I mess up the case and save myself again. Could be in that case, that's more of what we call koach hataina. There, no, that's not a psychological insight. That is, I already won the case. Once I already won the case, Pesha Asur, Hua Pesha Hitter, whatever I say to reopen the case, you have to accept my word because it's my case already. Because I have the koach over this case. This whole case is already in my pocket. So whatever I say in this case is believed. So it could be that perhaps that's what Tosos is, the distinction Rivam is making. To, you know, regular migu, if I could have said a tiny in a migu, I could have kept quiet. Or what he doesn't use, the difference perhaps between migu and pesha usher, who a pesha hitter, might be, it might just be one is a stronger psychological proof than the other. Or it could be that regular migu is a psychological proof, but if I already won the case and I don't even have to say anything, that's koach hataina. That means that it's already my case, it's already my money, I already won. Now, if I decide to complicate the situation, my word is automatically accepted because I already won this din Torah without saying a word. Back to our original question. Okay, so that's a bit of an introduction. We'll come back to this. And now, Gimel, obviously, when we get to the question of migu de ha'aza, meaning what if you have a migu where there's a very good reason why I wouldn't want to say the other taina? If you look at it from a perspective of psychological birur, that would not be valid migu. That's a sheet of Tosos Udime. If you look at it from the perspective of koach hataina, maybe it would still be a valid migu. And that we'll get back to enough gimel, and we'll summarize all this and see more makoros inside. So this is just sort of a taste to whet your appetite for understanding the concept of migu. And then we want to move on in the Tosos and the Gemara. What are other answers to this question of why we don't say migu here? So there's a few other answers scattered around the Rishonim. The Hagos Mordechai has an interesting answer, which is that what does migo prove? Migo proves that I'm not
lying.
Right? But is lying the only reason someone could be wrong? You could also just be mistaken. Does migo prove that I'm not mistaken? Doesn't seem to. But when amigo is, I'm not a liar. If I was a liar, I would have asked my lawyer and said the best taina. But if I'm, I could be an honest person who's mistaken. If I'm an honest person who's mistaken, then of course I would have honestly said what I thought. But I could still be mistaken. Amigo doesn't prove that I'm not mistaken. That's based on the Gemara at the end of Yavamos, or the Mishnah at the end of Yavamos, that if a woman, it's slightly different case, but you know, if a woman says her husband died, we don't suspect her of lying, right? But if she says her husband died stam, we believe her. We don't think she's lying. But if she said her husband was killed in a battle, now we know when it comes to battles that it's always hard to tell who's killed and who's not. You know, unless you stick around for a few days afterwards, right? Sometimes people are wounded, and it's hard to tell if they're mortally wounded or not. And it's very easy to make a mistake. She said, in that case, no, we don't believe her. Because even though we don't think she's lying, she could be mistaken. And it's very easy to make a mistake in the heat of, if there's Muhammad in the world, it's very easy to make a mistake about who was killed in battle and who was not killed in battle. So, says the Hagos Mordechai here, right? What's the Hagos Mordechai? I hope we managed to find it. The Mordechai, what happened in the old days? How do I explain this? The old days, everything was more like a wiki. Depends who we are. You're used to, when someone writes a book, everyone like adds a few lines to it based on their own artist. That's called wiki. We're used to, when someone publishes a book, they publish a book, gazelle, right? But interestingly enough, you go back to the time of the Rishonim, and it was more like the internet era. When someone published a book, what does it mean they published a book? They didn't print out 3,000 copies of the exact same thing. It means you copied over by hand. Whoever copied it over added some haros and whatever you thought was important. You know, if you're copying over this book, you might as well put in important haros. So nowadays, with the, you know, if they ever succeed in the wiki Talmud, wiki Shas, whatever, they're just going back to the old days before they invented the printing press, when everyone had their own version of the book and added their own ha'aros. So in the Mordechai was such an important sefer. If a sefer was unimportant, then someone just copied it over and left it in the library. The sefer was important. The more important a sefer was, the more people adulterated it. Because they felt this such an ikker sefer, you have to add all the important yediyas to it. So in the Mordechai was really an ikker sefer psak of the Bnei Ashkenaz. So everyone added hagos to it and other important things. And over here, you have hagos Mordechai. Usually, if you want to find hagos Mordechai, you don't look on the side of the Mordechai for hagos, like in the Rush. When the Mordechai finishes, I mean, there are notes in the Mordechai. Those aren't the hagos Mordechai. The hagos Mordechai is when you finish the Mordechai in every Masechet, then you have a little chapter heading hagos Mordechai. In Bava Metzia, it's such a popular Masechet, there's hagos Mordechai, then it finishes the Masechet again, it says more hagos Mordechai. There's things added to the Mordechai. So, what? Could be we do, not sure exactly. But in general, in the Mordechai, there are all different versions of the Mordechai. Anyway, even Chutz Mizeh, there are different versions of the Mordechai, because in this country they added something that were copied over, and the Rhinish version, and the Rhinish Masor of the Mordechai, and the Ostrich Masor of the Mordechai. Okay, you could do a whole, I'm sure people have done a whole PhD thesis on exactly the evolution of the Mordechai. That's already beyond us. I just wanted to explain how to find Hagos Mordechai. So it says here at the end of that Hagos Mordechai, here we are. So first he quotes that Shuvas Rabbeinu Tam, we don't say Migum Mam Lamamo, right? And that's what. What? No, the Luach HaDinim is just the index, not alphabetical index, just like really like a table of contents. That's the table of contents. Here it's on page 164. So first he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, we don't say Migum Lam Lamam, and that's why he's Meishel or Abonei Regensburg, that's where we're finding Regensburg, Kasav, okay, the same Shita. But then he says, for its Ritzbot, he rates, then he quotes the Ritzbot, says we don't say Migu I gotta find the right part.
I don't know if you have the same version, but
mine is
170.
Oh, no, sorry, it's the Od Hagos Mordechai. See, I even messed. Did I mess myself up? Let's see. You're right. I apologize. It's the Od Hagos Mordechai. That's why I couldn't find it. So, what does he quote here? The Od Yeshlomar de Lo Amrinan. Migu el makushan ukhoshno shosh mashaker migu proves you're not lying well hachu sover lomar ms hachu progresses from the inner minute long base balik no khama migu di by our makes me toss him shosh khama but did dummy right she's now why don't we leave her say her husband died in war she's a migu she could have said he died peacefully the answer is migu proves she's not lying but if she thinks he died in war she might be mistaken and how can you prove you're not mistaken it's very hard to prove someone's not mistaken someone could be the best person in the world and still be mistaken and in war it's very easy to be mistaken. I mean, you know, you'd run away from the war, right? You wouldn't come back and check like 3 days later. So it's very easy to be mistaken about who lived and who died, even out of Yom HaZeh. So what does the Mordechai say? That here also, what's the chash based on the Gemara later on? Right, what does the Gemara later on say? There's no Vadei Ramai. Why is there no Vadei Ramai? Because they both picked it up at the same time, and it's not clear who picked it up first. And everyone knows in human nature, if we both picked it up around the same time, who am I going to think picked it up first? Me. Even if I'm an honest person, I'm going to think I picked it up first. Because that's just the way people think. They always like to initially look at things in a way that benefits them, and then they get stuck in their head that that's really what happened. Right? So, says the Hagos Mordechai, he says, basically what he says is, Migu does not help when we suspect you are mistaken. What's the mistaken? The code word in Dina Mamnus for mistaken is bididami. Maybe you're saying what you think, right? So amigo only works when the issue is very clear, and you're either lying or telling the truth. When the maisa itself was ambiguous, and you might have just been mistaken about how to interpret it, then nigu doesn't help, and the proof is in yevamos. Someone died or didn't die at war, since that's so confusing and so easy to make a mistake, migu doesn't help. What? Doesn't the Mordechai quote? You want me to make you find this again? he says, right there, Per Vassar Diavos. Okay. Here also, his taina is that it's half mine. So what's his taina that's half mine? He's assuming the taina half mine is that we picked it up simultaneously. I'm taina it's half mine, we picked it up simultaneously. But I may be mistaken. Maybe you picked it up first. I just think we picked it up simultaneously. Okay. That's obviously, and the same thing for the Mecha Chomenka, right? My taina is we bought it simultaneously. Maybe you bought it first. Okay, then obviously he's limiting this psak to only cases where there could be a mistake. If it's a case where there can't be a mistake, then he would say the migo works. Another answer that the post can bring up here, I just point out, is the Tosus Rid says, and the Muki Yosef also brings up the migo doesn't work here because what's the point of a migo? If I was lying, I would have said the better taina. But maybe in this case, there's a reason why I wouldn't say the better taina. Says that there's no migu because there's a reason a liar would not want to say kula shali. Why would the liar not want to say kula shali? What does Tosfos Rid say? No, he said kula shali and especially either way, it's saying shua. A liar wouldn't want to say kula shali because if he said kula shali, he'd be half believed. Right? If he said kula shali, they would only believe half of what he said. He'd rather say chetzi shali and have them believe all of what he said. If he said kula shali, everyone will think that he's only half right. He'd rather say chetzi shali and be all right. So therefore, he says psychological insight that a liar would not want to say kula shali and be half trusted. He'd want to say chetz yeshali and be fully validated. It's just human nature. It's also a matter of reputation. You don't want people to partially believe you. You want people to totally believe you. So you ask, if he's a liar, why didn't he say kula shali? The answer is, if he's a liar, he didn't say kula shali because he didn't want to be half validated. He wanted to be fully validated, so he says chetz yeshali.
In both cases, he's half believed.
What?
In both cases, he's half believed.
No, the migo works. If he says chetz yeshali, he'll be fully believed. So what are we going to say? Migo will believe him because he could have said kula shali. That means every liar will say chetz yeshali to be half believed, but to be fully believed with amigo instead of kula shali, but he doesn't really have the proof. Is there really a proof that he's telling the truth? Because a liar would have said kula shali. No, maybe the reason he didn't say kula shali is because he wants to take advantage of the amigo and be fully believed. So if we would allow the amigo, then it would destroy the amigo. Now you're right, until we allow the amigo, it's valid. But if we would allow the amigo, it would destroy the amigo. The whole point, if we allow the amigo, that means we fully validate him when he says chetz shali. If we fully validate him when he says chetz shali, then it destroys the migo because he is a liar. Why didn't he say kula shali? Because he wants to be fully validated. What? Yeah, but in that case, Taka does kill the migo. That's called the Aruma Kamara, whenever it presents. But you're right, it's a little bit of a weak taina, because you're assuming he really cares so much whether he's half-validated or fully validated, and you're assuming that, like, he takes into account what would happen after the migo. So you're right, that's a good taina.
Is it also dependent on who makes the first taina or not? What if the first person, or the first person taina is half, then if he would taina whole, then he could be more believable. Because that would be more likely.
Perhaps. I hear the taina. Okay, then Muka Yosef adds one other point, which I'll just mention, and then we'll go weiter. He says, but it could be And that the Gios also mentioned this, that if, this is the answer to Daniel's question, if he had won with Amigo, then a liar would always say it's half mine, because he'd rather be fully validated than be half validated. Okay, another time he says is that Ein Adam is punished by Balchov. Well, that's what he also said before the other time. He says three times here, as we see. Ein Adam may is punav. Basically, lichbor hakol. Right? This is the Gemara in Daf Gimel and Aleph. A person, maybe he's a liar. Oh, if he's a liar, why didn't he say kula shali? Person doesn't have the chutzpah to totally deny your claim. Even liars might not have chutzpah to be kofar hakol. Even liars might not have chutzpah to look you in the face and say, your talus is totally not yours. So therefore, you want to prove that he's not a liar. Right? No. And if he was a liar, he said kula shali. No, maybe he's a liar, but he didn't have the chutzpah. He just couldn't bring himself to say kula shali because he didn't have enough chutzpah. So therefore, maybe. This is what's called a migu de ha'azar. Maybe he's a liar, but he didn't have enough chutzpah to say kula shali, because there's a principle in Daf Gimel and Aleph, according to some Rishonim, or according to all Rishonim, that there's a psychological insight, well, depending on Rashi tells us there about which kind of people, but that, according to most Rishonim against Rashi, that people don't have the chutzpah to totally deny reality. But they do have the chutzpah to call it half and half. So maybe he's a liar, he just only had enough chutzpah to say chetzi shali. Therefore, migu disappears. All right, so these are the basic answers to Tosfos' questions in the Rishonim. Again, they're all different psychological insights about what we really think is proven by the Migo, what we really think isn't proven by the Migo, other than perhaps the issue of Migo Mamamamam, which might be a more fundamental Lomdish question.
Your case isn't meant to be taken literally. This isn't really what you meant.
Why not?
Then it'll be shorter,
No, that's the Gemara, that's the Gemara deals with Norkli Kamaisa, why it's not Moda Mitzvah Doraisa, and there are other reasons. Okay, Tosa then asks the second question, which we'll look at very briefly. Tosa says, the intomer being the Insof Moshe Devadai. Here, I say it's all mine, you say it's all yours. So what happens? What's the case here? Again, Lahus Ruvain is Vadai at least 50%, right? Shimon is Safeg 0%, Safeg 50%, right? So for sure half the Talos is Reuven's. Shimon is a Safeg how much of the Talos, if he has anything in the Talos or not, right? Because everyone agrees Reuven owns half. Even Shimon says it's half yours. So half, everyone agrees Reuven's, the other half they fight about. So it says the principle, if one guy Vadai owns and the other guy might or might not, we have a principle, Ein Safeg Moshe De Vadai. If half is definitely yours and the other half we're not sure, Ein Safeg Moshe De Vadai, what's the proof? The Omer Kul Shuli Yishlo Vadei Chetzi, the Omer Chetzi Shuli Shafik Yimei Yishlo Vaklom, the Amina Perkach Cholets, Shafik V'yavim Shavo Lachlof B'nichsei Saba, Shafik Omer Ana Bar Misna Ana V'isli Kaga V'yavim Ha'ad Bar Jiji V'les Lach Lom Yidi Ha'ad V'yavim Vadei V'Shafik Shafik and Shafik Milchim Dei Vadei. This is the classic case, the Shafik Ben Shiva Lachron, Shafik Ben Teish L'Rishon, right, a guy doesn't know the Mishnah that we learned last year in the beginning of the fourth parak, and his brother dies. He does Yibum 3 days later, 2 months later, and they have a baby, and they're not sure if this baby's his baby or the dead brother's baby, right? So, besides the fact that he's like Safe, Isser Karis, etc. But now, the grandfather dies, right? So who do we have here? We have here is the fellow who dies, the grandfather. He had the Yavam, and he had the guy who already died, right? Here the Saba dies. So, and we have this other Suffolk guy. We're not sure if he's the son of the Yavam and the son of the Mace. If he's the son of the Mace, he splits the Nechassim 50-50. There are two branches of the family. If he's the son of the Yavam, he gets nothing, because his father inherits. Right, if the grandfather died and the father's alive, the grandson doesn't get. So what does the Gemara say? Now, this is Kula Shali and Chetzi Shali, right? The Yavam says, Kula Shali, you're my son. The subject says, Chetzu Shalit, no, I'm your nephew, and I split it half and half. So, they don't say three quarters, one quarter. They say, Ain't something else to be bothered, and the Yavam gets it all. So, how come over? It's the exact same case. Right? The Yavam is saying, Kula Shalit. And the Suffolk is saying, Chetzu Shalit. So over here we say, split it three quarters, one quarter. Over there they say, ain't suffering multiple day vaday. And the Yavon gets it all. What's the difference between the two cases? So what's the difference between the two cases? So, what does Tosus say? The Yeshlom with the Hasim Yavon should know shall Saba vaday Yorsha, Yotzi is suffering Mumono. Over there the Yavon is for sure Yorish, and the Suffolk cannot take any money away from him out of debt. Here there's no svar, just because I own half, why should I get the other half? What does Tosus mean by that?
When you're a Yorish, the whole Yerusha goes together. So if you're part of it, if you're one of the Yorishim, you have some shaykhs the entire Yerusha.
Exactly.
Owning half is nothing.
Exactly. Tosus, almost all of the Rishonim agree with Tosus. Tosus has a very, very pashut. Chiluk. There's a fundamental difference between the talis, even though in both cases I say it's all mine, you say it's half yours, that's on the surface. But in the lumbus behind it, there are two fundamentally different tainas. Over here, there are two halves. On one half, it belongs to Reuven, and the other half is Suffolk Reuven, Suffolk Shimon. So Tosfos says, what do you mean in Suffolk to be Vadai? The Vadai is on one half of the talus, the Suffolk's on the other half of the talus. They're two different halves of the talus, right? So this is Reuven's and this, they split quarter for each. By the Yerusha, now you could have said the same by Yerusha, right? The father left, the grandfather left $1 million, so 500,000 is Reuven, is Yavam's, and the other 500,000 is subject to controversy, but that's not how Yerusha works. In Yerusha, right? The whole estate is one unit. That's the difference. Over here, there are two different fights. There's a din of one half and a din of the other half. But when it comes to the Yerusha, no one's arguing about any particular money. What are they arguing about? Are they arguing about who the money belongs to?
No, they're arguing about the status.
They're arguing about who's a Yorish. They're arguing about who's a Yorish. Who's a Haloshem Yorish. Right? It's one unit. And the machlokes, let's say there are two, the Yavam is Taka, the Suffolk is Taka nephew. It's not that he deserves half the money, he deserves the other half of the money. It's that they're both Yorshim. If they're both Yorshim, they split it. The machlokes is, who is a Yorish? So what do we have here? The Yavam is a Vada Yorish. The Suffolk is a Suffolk Yorish. Here, they're not arguing about two different halves of the estate. The estate is one unit. They can't argue about the different parts of it. All they can argue about is who's a Yorish. Right? So over here, basically over here, what's Shimon's taina? Over here, Shimon's taina is, that half is yours, that has nothing to do with it. This half is mine. So he's saying, that half don't judge, this half split. Over there, they're not arguing. The Suffolk's not saying, that half is yours, this half is mine. The Suffolk's saying, I'm a Yorish. And the Yavam is saying, no, you're not a Yorish. So in that case, you can't split the Yerusha and say three quarters, one quarter. The Yerusha is one unit. Either someone's a Yorish or they're not a Yorish. The answer is, if there's a Vada Yorish and a Suffolk Yorish, the Suffolk Yorish cannot take any money away from the Vada Yorish.
But there's still the language of Ein Vada Motzi Midei, Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei. That implies that, that you are breaking something up and taking it. That language, to me, doesn't seem to fit to determine who is the Yorish. It's more of who's taking parts of things.
I can't. If I'm a Suffolk Yorish, I can't take your Yerusha away from you. Ain't something wrong. Motzi is actually interesting. Ain't something Motzi, it's Motzi. But when we divide that, that's only toast trees here. You could have just said that Suffolk is not Motzi divide that. We find that in the Gemara in the beginning of Tzachem about B'dikas Chametz also. Which is not about muffin, right? Sure, the bread went into my house, and the rat might have eaten it or not. Ain't something else to be divided. But nonetheless, even ain't something else to be divided means he can't be multi-mammon. Question is, why is he Why do we call this being motzi mamon? Like, why over here are we assuming half of it is Reuven's, the other half we don't know? Here we're assuming it's all the Yavams unless the Suffolk has a claim. The answer is because over here the Yavam is a vada yoresh on, I'll say it even sharper. Ready? Reuven is a vadai bailim on what? What is Reuven a vadai bailim on? Oh, no, in this case, in a talus.
Half a talus.
Exactly. On half a talus. He's a vadai bailim on half a talus. Does he have any vados to the other half of the talus? No. But over here, let's go back to the idea of Yerusha. Yerusha does not work the same way. In Yerusha, it's not that if someone dies with two kids, or a kid and a grandkid from different branches, which is the equivalent, like half of it's, like one kid naturally owns half the dollar bills, the other owns the other half the dollar bills. No, in this case, Reuven is a vada yoresh. What is Reuven a vada yoresh? Yeah, on the whole estate. It's not even on the estate. Really, what's he a vada yoresh? He's not a vada yoresh on money. He's really a vada yoresh of Saba, right? On the whole estate. Reuven is not a yoresh. A yoresh is a yoresh. Ah, if there are two yoreshim, obviously they have to split it. But even if there are two yoreshim, it's not that each guy was yoresh half. You could disagree with this, but it's not that each guy was yoresh half. They're both yoreshim. Ah, what if there are two yoreshim? Obviously, if there are two yoreshim, then they, have to split it amongst themselves. Now, okay, you might tie this into the question of Brera. But according to many, we've shown it. Okay. If they're two yoreshim, they have to split it amongst themselves. But when you're a yoresh on the whole estate because it's one unit. So Reuven is a vada yoresh on the whole estate. Then we say, ain't Saba, he was a vada. Reuven says, look, am I a yoresh of Saba? I'm a yoresh of Saba. Now go prove you're something if you want to take anything from me. Supposed to hear, Reuven says, am I vada in half the talus? I am. But that's half the talus. We're discussing the other half of the talus. So I think that's the fundamental insight of Tosos.
Does this mean that this how the impacts the discussion we have
but it doesn't matter. Mechzok is not vada. Mechzok doesn't mean I own it.
I just have a problem. But if I own half of it,
then
that's
derived
from my
mechzok.
I'm a
vada
mechzok in the talus, even though...
Vada mechzok is not good enough. Vada needs to be vada zocha. Vada doesn't mean you're mechzok. Vada means that you have a vada zochos. Think about it. So what Tosfos is saying, and most Rishonim are saying, is that there's a fundamental difference here between Yerusha and between Atalus. Atalus, each half is a separate talus, so I'm body in one half, I'm not body in the other half. Yerusha, there's one unit of a Yerusha, and if I'm a Yoresh, I'm a Yoresh. And if there are two Yorshim, they're both Yorshim on everything. Not just their Moshe, they're both actually Yorish everything. That's the fundamental difference. Theoretically, you could deny this difference. You could say that, no, Yerusha, each guy is only Yorish half the dollar bills. There's no such thing as being a Yorish on the whole Yerusha. Everyone's only Yorish on their dollars. Or you could have said that if two people own a talus, no, what does it mean two people own a talus? It means they both own the whole talus. And then they have something called a shutfus, where they figure out how to practically implement that. But Tosfos thinks Yerusha, two brothers who have a Yerusha, are different than two people who own a talus. When two people own a talus, they each have their own ownership. When two brothers inherit a Yerusha before they split it up, they both are Yorshim on the entire estate. They both are a Shaitas to the entire estate.
Even if you were to say that, then two Yorshim would say it as the two of the talus, you still make the distinction. Because here the whole question is, are there two Yorshim? And if there's only one Yorish, that's Vada, you still come back to the same.
Right, but if you say you're only a Yorish on, like, this many dollars, then Reuven would say, look, I'm only for sure.
No, but only to deny that there's another Yorish. Okay. You can't even begin to say that.
Okay.
You don't know how many Yorishim there are.
Okay, I think you could be correct. Lemaisa in the Miuchosim L'Ritva, which is like the old-fashioned Ritva that you find in Rashi script in the old sets, which is in the back of the Mosar of Kuk Ritva, which let's call it, if I had to call it something, Beis Yosef calls it one place in Choshen Ritva, the Talmud or Rashba. someone very close to Ritva. Anyway, the Miuchasim LeRitva, he actually gives a different answer than Tosfos. He says, no, you don't have to make any differences between Yerusha and and Talus. I have a more Pashut answer. We had a Hakira whether the Yachloku in the Mishnah was Betor Safek or Betor Zvadai. It says, I think the Yachloku is Betor Zvadai. That it's not me Safek we split it. We're not splitting it. We're splitting because we really think that you have a share and you have a share if you're both holding on to it. I'm in Sadi. My Ditalfus Haidi Dehu. So therefore he says, then Safek Mosu Devadai. This is Vadai Mosu Devadai. On the one hand, you Vadai have rights in the Talus. The other hand, also Vadai have rights in the Talus because whoever's holding it, we're sure that they have a partial ownership of the Talus. And therefore, he says, you know, you don't need to distinguish between the nature of Yerusha of an estate versus ownership of a Talus. You could just say, if you go take Tosfos literally, that the reason we split it here is because we're sure that you each own half. Not just because we think you might each own half, but we're Anan and Sadi each own half. Then in this case, Anan and Sadi, you own a quarter. So therefore, it's Vadei Motzibidei Vadei. You Vadei own half, but he Vadei owns a quarter. So therefore, he gets his quarter.
That's not what Tosfos is asking. That's not what Tosfos is dealing with. The Vadei Yachloku was only talking about one half to tell us. Tosfos is asking the fact that he owns the second half to tell us.
Yeah, in fact, he owns the second half to tell us. Should beat the Suffolk. He owns one half. That should be the Suffolk on the other half. There's a Suffolk on the other half. Oh, the Ripa says, no Suffolk on the other. This half is for sure Reuven. This half is not Suffolk Reuven, Suffolk Shimon. Is for sure a quarter Reuven, a quarter Shimon. Because like, I'm inside me. Shimon's holding on to it. He must have at least a quarter. And therefore, it's Vadei, not Zmidei Vadei. Okay, let's go on to the to see if we can at least speed through something tomorrow now. Lovely, Mrs. Zeron, Mrs. Sassia, Zeron, Omer, Mrs. Sassia, Zeron, Kulushli, Zeron, Kulushli. Why don't you do the double Lashon? Obviously, if I found it, it's all mine. If you found it, it's all yours. So, listen, Chadik. One case is good enough. The answer is Chadik Katani. No, it did mean one case. It was just explaining the case carefully. Right, what it really means is not two different cases, but one guy says, I found that it's all mine, and the other guy says, I found that it's all mine. Is that what I mean? It's Sasiva Kulshali. So then it's even more redundant. If it's all one case, then he could just say, we know it's his. You needed to have a double lashon, because if you had had a single lashon, you might have thought that what he means is, I saw it first. Right? That's a little kid's thing, I think. Like if there's, you know, a shekel in the street, whoever saw it first gets it. So you might, that's what you might have thought. You might have thought it meaning nothing to do with Shai Moksim Talish. You might have made a mistake in Hilchas Kinyanim. You might have thought that you could be Kona Hefker by seeing it. Obviously, I can't be Kona your property by seeing it. But you might have thought that Hefker, you could be Kona just by seeing it. Tana Kulushali, Dibri'iyah Lokani has an extra Lashon, Nim Tasiyah Kulushali. The extra Lashon teaches us that you really need an extra strong Taina, which means that you have to actually pick it up and do Hegbah. Can you really say that you would have had a having to think that mitzasiya means I just saw it? Don't we have a drasha that says this week's parsha shetavad mi'en umitzasa, that umitzasa means you pick it up? In umitzasa dekoda asa the yodim mashva mi otana lishin di alma nakat mi dechazi le omar ana ashkachad afagav lo asa the yodim b'ribi alma kani tana kulishli b'ribi alma lo kani la. Okay, so if it had just said nimitzasiya, even though in the Torah lashon shetavad mi menu umitzasa means you picked it up, from where we see that if you pick up a Vedas Yisrael you have to return it, if you pick up a Vedas Nachar you don't, Rashi explains, but that's lashon dekra. In lashon bnei Adam, whoever sees a shekel in the street says that they found it. So if it had just said nimitzasiya, we would interpret it as lashon bnei Adam. They each time that they saw it first, and we might have mistakenly thought that Re'iya is kone hefger. So therefore it says, Kula Shali, the Lashon of Kula Shali, implies that like I have a stronger claim on it. How would I have a stronger claim? Because I must have actually picked it up. The Gemara then asks, the list of Kula Shali the Laboy and Nimitzasiya. So why not just say Kula Shali, which is the Lashon of a stronger claim, not just I saw it, but I actually have a grasp on it. Okay, Okay, so if it just said Kula Shali, I would have thought this happened to be a case where they both picked it up. But I might have still thought that in other places, the Eil Metziya Shalo, that the Metziya Shalo, even if he just saw it, in this case, they happen to really have a strong claim. But I might have thought that Yerkona threw Re'iyas, therefore it had to teach in one mission an extra lashon of Anitz Asiva Kula Shali, teach you that finding it doesn't count unless you also can say Kula Shali, unless you also strengthen your claim of finding it by picking it up. So now we know, Bi'alma, that Re'iyas is not Kona B'Hefker. Tosus here asks a question from a Gemara later on, Debre'iyah B'Yalma Lokani, Gehadim in Perek HaBayis V'Aliyah, Bot V'Hefker Kani, Tzamachlokes Tanoim in HaBayis V'Aliyah. But there's one sheet of the Habot of B'Hefker is Kona. So if Habat of a Hefker is Kona, isn't that the whole point of our Gemara is that you can't be Kona Hefker with Re'iyah, you need a Maisa. Habat of a Hefker is Kona. So Tosa says, no problem. Hainu sha'asa Maisa koldu gun shigodar geder katan. Tosa says that they don't take that too literally. The Gemara Habat of a Hefker didn't mean literally looking at it. The Gemara Habat of a Hefker Kona meant if you do a small maisa, meaning a maisa that wouldn't normally be kona, such as, for example, not the land wasn't hefker. There were plants growing that were hefker, like the Shemitah year is one example they bring there, and I build a little fence. So, now that's not a hagbah, that's not a maisa that's normally kona plants, but I might have thought that's what there's machlokis, there's a man that we're about to have your kona, means doing a little maisa. But basically, Tos says everyone agrees that you need a maisa to be kona. Everyone agrees there's no such thing as being kona without a maisa. The machlokas later on is whether any maisa suffices, or you actually have to pick it up. Whether you have to pick it up or you just have to do any maisa. But everyone agrees Kenya needs a maisa, and for Yerbiyama lo kani. That's the day of Tosos. The Ramban here points out that Rashi says later on in that sugya about the behavior kona, Rashi says a slightly different shot. He's also trying to answer our question. He doesn't tell us he's trying to answer our question. But Rashi in Daf Kuf Yud Ches says, what is habat the behavior kani mean? He says, he's also worried. How can there be mandam habat the behavior kani? Don't we know we're iolo kani? That's the whole point of our sugya here. He says, Habat HaKani B'Hefker holds of our Torah Huvedaito Lekach Al Yadon Nishmar. So what does Habata mean? Habata doesn't mean I saw it. Habata means I watched it. What's it mean? Seeing and watching, right? Seeing, I saw it. Habata means I actually watched it. What it means is if I sit there's a Hefker object, and I guard it. I don't know, let's say I found a $1 million bill on the street on Shabbos. So what do? I don't want to pick it up. So I sit there all Shabbos and I guard it to make sure no one else comes. You know, I don't know, maybe like I put a piece of cardboard box in it so no one notice it, and just make sure I sit on the cardboard box and, all the tricks. So that's Kona because I am investing in it, even if I'm only investing in it, but actually doing a maisa to it. I don't know, maybe the cardboard box is a maisa. Even if I just sit there and guard it and warn everyone to stay away, that is Kona, according to Rashi. Maybe I'd be Kona that $1 million bill in Shabbos. Okay, then I don't know if it would be mutter too. But leaving that aside. So that's basically two different ways of answering the stira between the Manda Omer, Habat V'Hefker Kanya, and our Sugya. Tosu says there's no having to be Kona without a Maisa, you need a Maisa. Rashi, there, and the Rabban here, say, no, sure there's a sheet that you'd be Kona without a Maisa. But it doesn't mean by just looking at it, that means by investing in it, by putting in tircha to have shmira, investing in hefker is good enough. But everyone agrees that just seeing it is not good enough. So it's just, clearly seeing hefker is not good enough. Oh, what's the mandam habata? Tosa says, maisa is the key to kinyanim. Kinyanim are based on maisa, therefore habata just means do a little maisa. Rashi Narman say, no, maisa is not necessary for kinyanim. How can you be Kona Hefker? You're Kona Hefker by investing in it, right? By putting work into it. And you can even put work into it without a Maisa by standing there and guarding it for a while.
How could you reconcile the Habata with the fact that no phenomenon zero isn't Kona? Because surely that's an attempt at investing in it. It's just misguided. Just as Habata is a misguided attempt at being and pick it up. So to falling on it is rejected.
So I think that the answer is, for Tosfos, the answer is obvious. The filo doesn't work, it's not a maisa.
Yeah.
Meaning,
how does that work with
the, or it's not a maisa of, you know, you're lying down in it, but it's not actually maisa of doing something to the chetza. According to Rashi, I think the answer might be because nefila, that's not a tercha. You're not watching it for a long time and investing in it. Nefila, you're not investing in it. You're just trying to chop it. Trying to chop it, that is not a kinyan. The kinyan comes from investing in it. I think for Rashi, maybe very fascinating machlokes here. We don't pass like mazav or habat v'hefker kani, so it's very hard to find the course about this in the. To find the course about this in the Achronim, but the principle for Rashi, at least of the Manda Amar Habat the Hefker Kani, is that Bailus, what is, you know, why is Habata more of a Bailus than Re'iyah or Nefila? Re'iyah or Nefila is trying to chop something. Habata is trying to invest in something. When you invest in something, that creates a real relationship between you and that object, and that's Kona Hefker. When I invest in something, so if I invest in your property, I've done you a favor. Right, maybe I'm working for you, you might have to pay me for my efforts, but if I invest in Hefker property, then that creates a bailus relationship. Investing in something creates a bailus relationship. Just, you know, wanting something does not create a bailus relationship. All right, sounds like good Musar Bart. It's true, because good Musar Barts are based in reality. And in reality, if I want something that doesn't make any relationship between me and the object, if I invest in something, it does. And I think that's the insight of Rashi.
What do you call something that's growing on the ground? You can't do anything besides to shmir, so you can't go in the car. There's no way to be corner except for habata. If you haven't seen the ground falling on it, it's not a definition.
Right, but what you're assuming that the man or habata the hefker kani is limited to plants that are growing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a chiddush. Can I disprove it? Perhaps not. You're assuming two things.
The whole thing is assuming that there is only one way to be kona, which is showing violence, and you can't have. I mean, habata is not necessarily. I mean, if habata works generally, instead of habata, may not be so.
No, but the problem is that. Then the Gemara talks about habata v'hefker kani. They use examples of things that are not attached to the ground. Also, not confused. Okay. The use example of things you can collect from the ground. Straw you can collect from the ground. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, and in the end rejects this approach. Doesn't reject the idea that Re'iyah is not Kona, I think that we accept, but rejects this diuk in the Mishnah. Umima, so is Chad Katani, Vel Zevazak Katani. How can you say it's all one case? It's just again, Shad Mishnah, Ze Omer Kula Shali, Ze Omer Nimit Sasi, Ze Omer Nimit Sasi, and Ze Omer Kula Shali, Ze Omer Kula Shali. If it was one case, it should have said Ze Omer Nimit Sasi, Ve Kula Shali. So, Zelmer and Nimitz, Zelmer and Nimitz, Zelmer Kul Shalit, Chuli, Amr Papa, V'itame, or Rabsim Barashi, but Amr La Kadi, either a Papa or Rabsim Barashi, or simple Pshat and Kadi, we don't know who said it, although Rashi and Gittin says there was an Amor named Kadi. Rashi and Siyav, Sev Mekar, Ritzvicha, right? This is the Maskan of Rapapa, that it's really talking about two different cases. One guy says, I found the Tzia first, you found the Tzia first, that's the name of Tzasiyah. Kula Shali is saying, I bought it first, and you claim you bought it first. Why do we need both these cases? So here, we have the Tzricha, to eat Hana Metzia, Hava Mina Metzia, Hu Deram Rabban and Shvua Lei. Mishum de Mo Riv Yomar Chavroi Lav Midi Chaser Ba. Ezel Itfis is Palig Bahadei. Aval Mekh Memkar, Delek Mali Merachi, Aim Alo. If it, the idea of Horah, what does Horah mean in Bamatsiyah? This will come up a lot in Dapay, Davav. This comes up a few places. Horah's Heter, this also even comes up in other areas of Halacha. Horah's Heter means that a person thinks that it's okay. No, I take it back. Shogeg means the person thinks it's okay, right? Shogeg means the guy honestly thinks it's okay.
He's justifying.
Horas Heter means you can justify it to yourself, right? So sometimes you do things and you honestly think like they're really mutter because you just made a total mistake. But that's not Horas Heter. Horas Heter means you know you're doing something wrong, but you have an excuse where you justify that it's not really so bad. Which, you know, my simcholion. So, what's the half? I mean, if it had just said Mitzia Havamina Mitzia Dorama, you would have thought Mitzia, you take the Shvu and split it. Why? Because more you have a Ras Heter. What's the Ras Heter? After all, what's the Chash? Really, Josh was up to Mitzia, but I claim I picked it up. Oh, why would I do that? Haras Heter, Chavar Lamini Chosra, is always been followed by in Mitzia, there's a Ras Heter. What do I say? Come on, you don't deserve it. It's not like I'm stealing from you money that you deserve. Right? It's like people, I don't know, like cheap big corporations or something. They don't really need the money, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's a Ras Heter. Here, you don't really deserve that. You just found it on the street. You didn't invest anything. You were a chasser. You didn't pay anything for it. Therefore, I deserve as much as you do. What do you mean? It was on the street. The street is both of ours. It's not more your street than my street. Obviously, we're there at the same time. I was really going to see it first, but I tripped. So just because you bought better sneakers than I did means that you should get them at Sia. Obviously, we each deserve half of it. So therefore, there's a chash that I'm lying and saying I want to share this Matzia with you because I think it's okay because you don't really deserve it any more than I do. So that's into Aval Mekar Menkar Delekim Yehachim Elo. But in Mekach Menkar, I'm buying and selling. Then, like, there's no excuse for saying I bought something when you really bought something. Then it's really evil. So then there'd be no shua. Okay, why is there no excuse in Mekach u'Memkar? So this is a bit of a machlokas rishonim here. In this stage of the Havmin, why is there no excuse in Mekach u'Memkar? It's a simple shot. Why is there no excuse in Mekach u'Memkar? What? It's not from Hefker, rather. If I say I bought it and Josh says he bought it, why do I not have an excuse? Because in Mitzia, no one spent anything. In Mekach Mekach, like he paid for it. If I take it, he's going to lose his money. Of course, this is assuming that how many people paid? Assuming one people. So this is how the Ramban and the Rashba read this, Havmin, and says, but in Mekach Mekach, now we think only one person paid. In Mekach Mekach, then there's no excuse. Because you went, you paid $100, you took the talis. Like, why would I take it away? Like, what's the excuse for taking it away from you? You spent $100 on it. That would be evil to take it away from you. So I might have thought it's different. Rashi says a little differently. Rashi says that the chaser, he says, maybe at this point we even knew we both paid money. So then, why is there no excuse? Why can't I make the excuse that, like, I'll pay you the money? Says there's no excuse because in Mekach u'Memkar, you were chaser. What were you chaser in Mekach u'Memkar?
The object.
The tircha, right? The tircha and the object. You obviously needed this very much. You were much. You asked yourself to go get it and you need it. It's not like a mitzio, which is just like it was there. So therefore, maybe you're not chaser net value, but you're chaser the tircha that you invested to get the object you want. And therefore, I wouldn't be more heter. So if it had just said mitzia, you would have thought I'm more heter mitzia, but not a Mekach u'Memkar. Mitzia, more heter, you don't need it, you don't deserve it. Mekach u'Memkar, either you need it in your machuyach, like Rashi, or the Ramban, then the Rashi would say, you spent the money on it and you're going to lose your money. Okay, how about the other way around? If you eat on a Mekach u'Memkar, who the Rami, Rabban and Shmuel, Mishum the Morgan, Rachavroi, Domki Yava, Unidomika Yehivna, Hashta, the Strichli, Diashkale, Anna, Rachavroi, Lazel, Trichel, Lisbon. If it had said the other way around, I would have thought the opposite far. In Mekach u'Memkar, there's a Ras Heter. Why? Mekach u'Memkar, say, you're paying money, I'll pay money. I'll pay the money. No one will lose money. It's just a matter of tircha in Mekach u'Memkar. So I'll take it, I'll pay the money, and you'll go, you'll buy it someplace else. So if there are other stores that sell palaces, so that's a Ras Heter. If it's just a matter, I'm a busy man, you're a man of leisure, you have time to go to the store, I don't, so it's really fair for me to take it, and you'll go to the store and buy another one. But in Mitzia, if I take it, you lose the money. There's really money at stake. And if there's really money at stake, right, if you find a 100 shekel bill, and I take it, then you lost 100 shekel. Therefore, I wouldn't be more Heter. So we might have had a Havmin and not. Okay, there's actually a bit of a... Machlok is what this case is as well. On a dummy kayahivna. What is a dummy? What does it mean, dummy kayahivna? So this is a what's the horos heter by Mekach u'Memkar? So Rashi says dummy mani rotsa lite. The machlokas achrona wapshan and Rashi is. It might be not clear. It might be pshan and Rashi that he thinks at this stage of the Gemara. In this half of the Havamina, they didn't know they both gave money yet. So he says, well, if they didn't both give money, then how is there a Ras Heter? So it's because I will give money. I will give money. So Rashi seems to be Rashi translates Damaki Yehevnes, I will give money. Yeah, there's Machlok Zachronim. Some point out that both Hirushim and the Tzlach. Get on point that out too. No? Okay. That both Rishon and the Tzlach and the Shidim Vetz also brings down these two and the other. He says, I'm going to pay the money. What's our Rashetra? I'm going to pay the money. So it means only one person paid the money, but I'm willing to pay the money, so I am Borahetra. Either that means because they think one person gave the money, or both people gave the money, but at the time when the first guy gave the money, the other guy said, I'm willing to give the money. So Rashi says, Dumaki Yevna means, I will give the money. So far only you gave money, but I'm also willing to give the money. So I'm Borahetra. Tosus Reid here says, Dumaki Yevna means, I already gave the money. Like, really, we both gave the money before I made this twisted cheshbon in my mind. We both gave the money beforehand. If we both gave the money beforehand, he says we both gave the money beforehand, and that's my Horas Hector. And Damaki Yehevna means, I already gave the money. I already gave the money. Like, what's the difference? You know, I already paid the money for it. Whoever doesn't get the talis, they'll get their money refunded. He actually then adds a nice pshat in the Gemara. He says, the next line talks about whether one person or both people gave the money. It proves that both people gave the money. So the next line is just continuing this line. The whole basis of Horas Hector is we both gave money. So the next line in the Gemara, let's use the Menachem, proves we both gave the money. Okay, but either way, it comes down to the same thing for our purposes. Whether you say, like, Rashi, it means I will give the money, because, like, only one of us gave the money, or only one of us gave the money, and then a Morahetter, the second guy gives. But whether it means, like, Tosfot, we already gave the money, and then a Morahetter, either way, the Ras Hetter is clear. What we just have to not really properly get to, or at all, is the question, what does this whole Havmina mean? The Havmina is that only when there's a Ras Hetter, only Chazal worry about Horas Hetter do we do what's in the Mishnah. But if we're not worried about Horas Hetter, then it would be different. What is, if it's not Horas Hetter, then what are we worried about? So that is a machlokas between. What's the Havmina? When there's Horas Hetter, then Zay Yishava She'im L'Pach Michetzi V'Yachloku. And when there's no Horas Hetter, then what happens? Well, if there's no Horas Hetter, then why do we think they're arguing? What's the other option? Either, you say, if there's Horas Hetter, you have to look. If there's no Horas Hetter, then there's just Rishos. If there's Rishos Gomer, that's different. Does everyone agree to that, Sean? Who doesn't? Tosus, what does Tosus say? If there's Horas Hetter, one thing. If there's no Horas Hetter, then there's an honest mistake. If there's an honest mistake, then it has to be different. After all, what's the point of making them swear if there's an honest mistake? They'll just swear mistakenly, and we'll be goreim, shvuas sheker b'shogeg. Okay, we'll have to pick up. We're a little behind, but we'll have to make up on Thursday and try to go through what the havmina is, and what the maskana is, and what that means in terms of halacha l'maisa when there's no horas hector.